How are we gonna play this?
Well, I
nothing
so,
to do with me, you guys.
Yeah, so the news will have come out by
right.
The time
it'll
we
be
post
strange.
The podcast.
Yeah.
So I think we can just talk about it like people who know that the news will have come out by the time we made the podcast.
Because it's
just
not
sort
like
of talk
this
about
is like
hey,
a trial balloon. This is a thing that is happening no matter what.
Right.
So.
Well,
Yeah.
I just meant, do you want to talk right off the bat, or probably, but or talk about
yeah.
the site and then talk about it?
Yeah, I think probably up front would be good.
Okay.
Welcome,
Matt Howie.
Welcome,
Jessamine.
Welcome to the MetaFilter podcast.
Welcome to episode 102 of the MetaFilter podcast. I'm Matt Howie.
I'm Jessamine West.
And I'm Josh Millard, a.k.a. Cortex.
Boom.
Landed it.
Perfect.
Nailed it. So, gentlemen, 102. Nothing interesting about it.
Nothing at all? Nothing whatsoever?
It's the emergency telephone number for police in Belarus.
See, that's interesting. Hmm. What if I'm in Belarus? And I'm
that
like,
would be good for
police,
you to know.
It's an emergency. I need to know what's interesting about your phone number. And it's like, well, it gets to us. It's like, bam.
You'd have to get a special SIM card for it. That was enjoyable about my trip to Europe. Hey, SIM card. Hey, does it work? Hey, I have to cut it down with scissors. Hey, maybe it'll fit. Hey.
They didn't have a SIM cutter. Oh, yeah, there's three
Somebody
sizes
sent
now.
Me one, and they sent me the wrong size, and I was really happy they sent it, but it was the wrong size, and so I cut it and was like, if it doesn't work, I'm not out anything, but it did work. But then my sister bought a card, but it was the wrong size, and just blah, blah, blah.
That's right.
If anybody's going to London in the next, like, 5 days and wants a SIM card that still has some money, data money on it, and it's a nano SIM, get in touch.
So, all right, micro, nano, and regular, and yeah. So you were there for 7 days?
Yeah, yeah, like Saturday to Saturday, basically.
Pure
Went
vacation?
To a big metaphil-
or
what?
Was it like, was it pure
no,
vacation?
No, it was a
wiki?
Vacation. I don't know when the last time was I took just a vacation.
Oh,
I
cool.
literally cannot remember that was more than a weekend.
Sweet.
Yeah. It was nice. Saw people. Walked around. The weather there was like 45 and kind of rainy, which was perfect. And Kate and I just like ate food and looked at museums and things in jars and whatever. I put up a big set of pictures on Flickr. So if anybody still uses Flickr, my stuff is there. Yeah.
What did you fly? What?
British. British Airways.
Oh, neat.
Nobody cares about this.
I know. We can cut all this. I'm just like, why do you have cooler in plane video?
We're just in our natural bantry habitat here. It's
yeah.
It's a very
it's a much more interesting to talk about than it's not.
True. It
so
is a shame
my
that we
neti pot experience.
On the
techniques.
Yeah.
I don't know how I wouldn't choke on whatever.
Well, it just never gets to your throat. There's no choke. You just have to.
Yeah, you bend forward.
We'll
it's
have
like
a nice long talk about neti pots sometime. You can come over the house.
I mean,
water through our nostrils.
I totally get it that you wouldn't want to do it, but like after you've done it and like you've actually rinsed out your disgusting nose after a while, it's really. I don't do it a lot, but when I do it, I'm always like, woo! I feel
yeah,
much better afterwards.
I don't
afterwards.
Really think of it as something I want to do recreationally, but I've definitely felt a lot worse with sinus stuff than I have felt bad while using a neti pot. Like, you know, it's. I structured that correctly, but yes, there's worse things than sticking a neti pot in your nose.
Ear clog up like a month or two ago for the first time in my life. And
it's probably related to the shit you're dealing with now, right?
Well, I don't know.
It's all the same. Eustachian tube.
Yeah, and then I went to...
Matt, you and I have the same illness? This is terrible.
I went to the parallel evolution. I went to urgent care, and they flushed out my ear. And it was basically the first time in my life I've had zero earwax. And I've had doctors tell me I create the earwax, like, enough for 10 men. Like, I have some sort of terrible
well, I hope you
genes.
Share it, then. I mean,
and so I just remember I heard for the first time, like, that's what I'm imagining a post-neti pot will feel.
Yeah, 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 exactly. It's exactly like that. Like, when you, like, land in a plane and then you, like, do the Valsalva maneuver and pop out your eardrums and suddenly you're like, oh, there's actually real sounds that I couldn't hear.
Oh, I'm
it's
terrible
very
at that, though. Like I couldn't be a scuba diver because I was so bad at like being able to depressurize my head. Like I just had
really?
Sinus headaches trying to scuba dive.
The important thing is that we've managed to get back to the neti pot and the sinus stuff here, so that's not lost to our pre-roll.
I was a little worried we'd
discussion.
Spend too much time talking about my vacation. I would instead like to talk about all of our sinus passages.
So yeah, we have not said. Well, let me see. How are we even going to approach this? Yeah, I guess we posted
it's
by now.
It's got nothing to do
hey,
with me,
it's been
me,
a weird
fuckers.
Couple weeks behind the scenes, hasn't it?
It's
what,
been
with
a,
the whole thing
yeah.
where...
So
you're
I was
totally...
in London and Josh emailed me and said, hey, I kind of need to talk to you about something. It's not bad, but weird.
Yeah, I think I said weird, but not bad.
Weird, but not bad. And I spent a lot of time worrying that some user that I didn't really like maybe had died. But it turned out instead that Matt and Josh have some news.
See.
Now
so
he's
yeah.
speaking Spanish.
Let me see.
That was a good setup, Jessamine.
What?
Well,
you shut up.
No, I said it was a good. I was trying to be supportive.
Good setup. Well, I guess everyone's read the text by now.
Like a Band-Aid, Matt. Just
yeah.
Matt got another job.
Yeah,
Matt's going to work
a
at
cool
Slack.
Job. And so Josh got another job. A cool job. I did
yes.
not get another job, and that's awesome also. All three of us are stoked. The gentlemen are having a very difficult time talking about it yes. for reasons
to be clear,
I do not understand.
The
well,
job that I got, it's
said.
Been...
It's yeah, really weird. I've been secretive for months, you know? Like, it's really
Matt,
weird.
Matt, that's you, though.
Yeah.
Like, that's not new. That's
right.
how you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm happy that you can have it all out in the open, and, you know, it's like the neti pot, Matt.
Once it's flowing, it
get
feels
all
so
that
good.
Snot out of there.
No, yeah. it's funny because it's really been yeah sort of like I haven't had as long to dwell on it because Matt sort of waited until the process actually looked like it was going somewhere before we had a serious conversation about
and
it.
And I've
but
known
yeah.
about it for 4 days.
Yeah. but yeah, no, it's kind of crazy and exciting on my end. Obviously, a bunch to sort of take on more responsibility here, but it's also just exciting to see Matt. Getting a chance to do something
else,
new,
anything
and, yeah,
else,
something.
I think it's going to be awesome.
16 years of accumulated stress, which is just so fucking awesome for you, honestly.
Matt
yeah.
and I have had some back channel discussion about just how great this is going to be for him.
Yeah. yeah well,
no
yesterday.
Offense to you, Josh.
No. None taken.
Yesterday, I had to get my iPhone repaired. I had no phone for like 3 hours, and. That was a trip because I had to figure out how to move around Portland without a map. Like
I think
find
they can
movie.
Fire you at your new job for that, Matt.
What?
They can fire you at your new job
yeah,
for that.
Right.
What? No phone? You're out, Howie.
No phone. And I get my phone back after 3 hours, and there's 30 emails, and 29 of them are about like an MRA thread. And I went, oh man, next week that won't be a problem. Like,
yep.
I haven't even looked at the MRA thread. That's how great it is.
I actually, yeah, I banned a guy from the MRA thread right before the podcast.
Oh,
it was just
man.
A brand new guy who like had not taken like any time to get to know the site stuff. So
did
it kinda
he make
sucks.
A post or did he just show up in the thread?
He just showed up in the middle of the conversation and was like, hey, let's start from scratch and all the things that I think are wrong with feminism. And you know, and the thing is, like, it wasn't even like total ragers, like angry anti-feminist nut job thing so much as he was just like. He was kind of beefing in a general way without having any of the backstory of like years of conversation about this stuff on the site. And he was doing it in a way like his opening line was, I'm not an MRA guy and fuck you. If
but
you
they
think
do
I am.
Have some good points.
Yeah, it was weird. And you know,
wait, he said fuck you and you didn't just ban him immediately?
We were nice about
standards
it. We deleted
are
the
slipping.
Comments. It was an odd situation. I might have banned him immediately if I'd been on the clock, but the generous side of me sees the reasoning too, and we basically tried to give him a chance to cool off and like actually join the community, but yeah, it wasn't happening. So
I want to subscribe to his newsletter. He sounds like a crackpot.
So is he banned already?
Yeah.
Aw, I like this new ban happy cortex.
Someone signed up 3 accounts right before we started recording. What is up with that?
It's always the weirdest thing. And usually nothing happens with it, too. Like, I always, like, I peg those immediately. I'm like, something is up here.
Right.
And most of the time, I mean, most accounts, nothing really happens with. You know, the ones we don't look at weird are mostly people who are just sort of lurking, but now they can use favorites as well. But yeah, those ones are always like, what is your angle? Are you going to have a conversation with yourself about this exciting new product?
Oh, this person has 8 accounts. That's weird. Super
what?
Weird.
Yeah. Send me a link.
Oh, they're making a joke in MetaTalk about Cortex.
Damn it.
It's 3 different spellings of Dragon.
And Cortex just used the word peg, which he says funny also.
Yep.
Where did I meet a human that said dragon? I told you about John.
Yeah, like a dentist or something? I don't remember.
No.
Or a waitress? Yes. I don't know what the hell it was. Yeah, you mentioned
she,
that.
It was some sort of, she was from somewhere else, Canadian. She just kept saying Dragon. We have some Dragon bourbon in stock. And I went, what?
Oh, yeah, maybe like, yeah, a beer or something.
Yeah, it was, oh, it was a cider called Dragon to her. Oh, there you go. Dragon cider.
It still doesn't sound weird to me, but of course it doesn't sound weird to me because it's how I say it.
So, yeah, I am... I was noticing I was getting completely burned out in the last few months, and
Matt, you've been burned out for the last couple of years. Right, be honest. Be honest.
Yeah. Well, by the last 5 years, even the up times were super stressful. The down times were super stressful. Health scares. My mom died. Like all sorts of shit has been lobbed at me. So yeah, it's been. But like really, I mean, since you left, Jessamine, it's like I took on, you know, an extra mod job plus all the other old stuff.
Yeah, and you really hadn't been doing that regular moderation for a few years before that.
It had just been like a day a week, and now suddenly it was 6 days or 5 days a week.
It was 3 hours a week, Matt.
yeah, at one point.
Seriously, like, the only reason I'm here is just so I can be the color commentary on your explanations.
So, like, it felt like 70 or 80 hours of work, you know.
Yeah, it's really hard. It's hard work.
Yeah, it's rough. And I'm the worst mod because I'm just, like, trying to get through it. And, yeah, so Lobsterman will be a way better mod.
Well, wait, that's the part we actually didn't mention.
Yeah.
So Josh is, like, moving up the food chain a little bit. Matt's going to be a little bit more emeritus. I'm still going to be the person at the other end of the podcast phone. And Lobsterman is coming back with a vengeance. And that's awesome news.
Mm-hmm. Back butt in the seat full time, which I'm really excited about. She seems to be excited about.
I love you, Josh, but she is the best of all of us. Seriously.
She's firing like we were all in the first 2 years of it, I think. Just like, oh, did you see this other thing? These eight other things that happened in the last 6 minutes.
She's
like, wow.
Incredible communicator.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, she has an excellent, excellent way of structuring communication. She's got a really strong, super diplomatic sense about things. Like, I feel like I can be pretty diplomatic, but I think I'm a little bit more likely to say, oh, are you fucking kidding me?
You
after
again?
A long day.
Right.
Yeah. Whereas Lobsterman manages to be a lot more consistently like, well,
and she updates
the
FAQ, and she's got her finger on the pulse of a whole bunch of other stuff at the same time as she's moderating, which I just think is going to be delightful.
Yeah, she is super great, so I'm so happy about that.
Yeah.
Plus,
totally.
It means more ladies, fewer dudes. No offense intended, Matt, but I think that will
gender balance comes back.
I think that will only help.
Yeah, totally. There'll be more female moderators than male moderators. And,
so tell
us
a little bit about your job, Matt. I don't know anything about it except the place you're working starts with S.
But yeah, I'll be at Slack. I'm doing content stuff.
That doesn't mean anything. That is an empty, meaningless sentence.
I have some empty, meaningless job title, like senior...
Good for you! Good for you!
Like senior content director or something.
Content?
Yeah, no, I'm...
senior
weird.
Content director. I am so happy about
I'm
that.
I'm going to say content always instead of content.
You're going to be the annoying guy at somebody else's office? That's so great!
Check out my crazy socks. That'll be me.
If you ever need any like really primo bad puns, by the way, you can just, you know, hit me up.
So in the last few months, I've been approached by a couple different companies, and there was this one opportunity where these people were like, run a huge community on the internet, and they were like, you're the one person on the planet who understands everything we have to do. And I'm like, and then we went kind of far down that path, and then I realized, like, I'm kind of burned out on my own. Why would I sign on to one I didn't create, and I would be doing the same job? Yeah, and so those aren't fun. And then, you know, Slack is something I've always loved, and there's like maybe five products on Earth that I really love and I've, you know, would love to work on, and I've actually interviewed at Apple and Twitter and stuff for various things, and nothing ever panned out over the last few years is sort of a maybe do think about it. But Slack,
Andre works at Slack. How big is Slack?
Slack is now 100 people around the world. I think 70 are in San Francisco and like 20 or 30 are in Vancouver, Canada. And then the rest are remote. I get to be remote, go to San Francisco once a month.
Nice.
Like half of Flickr, I think, has ended up back at Slack. And everyone I know there is like nobody. I intensely talked to, you know, the dozen or two dozen people I know there, and nobody had a bad, like, I couldn't, there's no bad stories. There's no bad, I mean, no one had anything, no drawbacks. Like, it was.
Does that mean that you can read the stuff I say about you in other Slacks now?
I hope not. Like, I mean, they have a serious security situation, right? So the product looks like a toy and it looks like a fun chat, but it contains all knowledge management for an entire corporation, you know,
for
entire industries. They are super dead serious. I mean, it looks like a toy, right? It's pastel
color. So for people who haven't used it, what's your, like, 20-second what is Slack? Like, when people say, what is Slack, what do you tell them?
Yeah, I guess it depends on how nerdy they are, because it's just basically IRC for business, you know, but...
Good-looking, skinned IRC.
Yeah.
And it's a nice chat search interface with a bunch of features under it, basically.
Yeah, it's mostly great search, so there's some permanence to what is typically not permanent. But yeah, I guess it's just for work. It's workplace chat, and it's really good and done well and easy to use, and the searching's really great. Yeah, like, I was thinking about it, like, when I think about, I have an idea for Metafilter. There's probably, like, 14 things I can do. I can, like, send an email, place a call, go on Skype. Like, you know, there's just a stack of ways I could share that with someone else that works there. And Slack is just good at, like, all the middle things.
Right. It keeps stuff in one area. It allows notifications of people. So if people need to get a hold of you, they can ping you on whatever your method is. I was trying to explain it because we use it at The Message, and yeah, I'm amazed. I'm amazed at, like, how we sort of clown shoes it around Metafilter before we had better tools.
Yeah, and we're going all in on it on Metafilter too, and it's working pretty good. Although we still do tons of email stuff, and
sure, because that's how really the users get in touch
sort
with
of,
you.
Yeah, we've just started really playing with it over last week and a half, maybe.
Yeah,
it seems like it's got a lot of promise, but yeah, we sort of have to figure out how to change some of our habits.
Anything beyond two paragraphs, it's too big for Slack, and you kind of want to not do it. It's weird in emails. Yeah, so we're still trying to figure out where. Like, me and Paul have been using it since last fall. And it works pretty good for dev stuff, and we have all these dev. Like, anytime Paul checks in code, it goes into a code channel. So as a mod, you can go. If someone says their fonts change, you can just go through the code channel and go, I don't see anything about fonts. Like, this person has a grease monkey problem or something.
Yeah.
There's Twitter stuff. You can, there's all the integrations.
So communications means what? Like, is this going to be a public-facing job? Are we going to see you talking about shit in the press and stuff? Or
I have to write
more
like
of a back office?
I've been, like, interviewing people that use Slack and how they use Slack at businesses, and those will be, like, case studies somehow will end up. I guess they'll be, like, blog posts and...
Oh, or, like, white paper kind of things.
Yeah, white paper or blog. Like, I was supposed to help out with the blog a lot, but not just be a blogger. But yeah, I just have to write stuff about Slack and help sell it to people or explain it to people.
Great.
So yeah, I'll be doing that stuff. And being able to sleep in. There's no server downtime emails in the morning. Like, it'll be good.
Are you serious? You haven't been sleeping in because you get server downtime emails?
Well, like, there's anxiety from, like, I don't know. I know I'm going to wake up with 20 to 30 emails.
I have some bad news for you about the anxiety. It may not go away.
Oh, right, yeah. I may produce other things to worry about. I'm pretty good at that. I've got some years of practice. But yeah, not having 30 emails every morning. I sort of dread Gmail in the mornings.
See, I love Gmail now because it's like 3 or 4 messages.
That's
like
what
my
I'm
boyfriend,
looking forward to.
My neighbor, someone who wants to hang out with me. Like, you know, it's nothing about work for the most part.
See, and I'm always a little bit worried if I get up in the morning and there's, like, not at least a dozen things. we're in the right sort of, like, complementary dispositional places
well,
on this.
That's
I'm
why
like,
you're
yeah,
so great
it.
For this job, Josh, because you have a relaxed attitude towards your workflow that neither Matt nor I have ever had.
Yeah. And I bottle stuff up because, you know, that's what I do. And, So the ticking time bomb's gone on long enough, so I think I'm done. And, yeah, I'll check in with stuff, but, you know, I guess I'll do the retired tag and we'll figure out how to
I'm excited to share that retired tag with you.
Oh, man. I might never have to, like, look at MetaTalk again.
You don't.
I don't want.
You
yeah,
don't.
That's the nice thing. You don't even have to if you
actually,
don't want to.
And here's the sick part. You still will.
I'll just wait for the happy MetaTalks. I'll read those. That'll be fun.
They are awesome.
We can set up a little filtering on the mod side where we can assign either a happy face or a sad face as like hidden metadata that you can see.
Oh, there's an API for emotionality. Like, there actually is a public API for this stuff.
What are you even talking about?
They're based on like just parsing of the content of.
I hate nerds.
Yeah, like you can put in your tweet stream and it'll rate like every tweet if it's happy or not. It's there's some sort of like
Dove bar, the Dove soap people will tell me like, cheer up, little buckaroo.
Oh, God.
I actually got an email from them, like probably just a mass spammy email asking if I wanted to be like kind of a brand ambassador kind of person.
Who?
It was like, hi, Twitter? I'm so-and-so, like, no, some, like, we represent Dove and Axe and whoever else. We're really looking for whatever. I don't even know what it was, but it was, like, from some young kid, like, you know, we could talk to you about lucrative blah, blah, blah. I was like, nope, not even going there. I'm not super thrilled. I don't want to be anywhere near Dove and their internet explosion. Thank you. No.
Yeah, they're like BuzzFeed of brands. You know, they're like trying all sorts of weird stuff. Ugh.
Yeah, exactly. Nope.
So yeah.
Nope.
Yep. News is going out in a bit.
Yeah. We'll have gone out by the time we get this.
Yeah,
up,
you better not put it out while I'm on this podcast. Let me tell you one thing right
now.
That
would be fun.
No.
I'm just gonna start leaking tweets
against the rules.
Well, that was my biggest.
Josh told me to tell no one, and I told no one except my sister and Jim.
Yeah, it's about the operation.
What did they say? Was their first response, "Huh, that's weird," or "That sounds completely human, like what a normal person would do after 16 years"?
No, they're like, "Are you mad?" And I'm like, "What? No." And then they were like, "Oh, that sounds great."
Oh, cool.
Because everybody was afraid that I was going to have some, you know, reaction, even though. It wouldn't seem like I would, but maybe I would. So both of them were like, how do you feel about that? I was like, I'm stoked for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, that came up. We were worried about it that little, but I was like, when Jessamyn left, she did not want to take on 2 40-hour jobs. Like, it was insane.
Josh doesn't either, actually.
Yeah.
He'll get better at delegating.
Yeah, I think part of the secret here is I'm going to try and make sure it's not 40 hours of extra work. Because we do have a whole team, and as much as I appreciate your inclination to try and not burden people with stuff, I think that kind of goes with your bottling up thing to probably part of why stuff ends up being so burnout-y at this point.
Sure.
Whereas I'm okay saying, hey, team, let's figure this out, and seeing how that works. So, but yeah, no, it's crazy exciting stuff, and I'm presuming the meta talk thread that has already been going on by the time anybody hears this will have been going very positively, but
maybe
it
won't.
This will be hilarious.
How little they knew at the time.
Right, everybody's just having their, you know, naively wondering about their not even knowing.
Yes.
All right, dude.
It's not that final. Jesus, it's not so final.
I know. It's big news because I mean, hey, it's, you know.
But
like,
it's getting better. Like, it's positive in three ways, you know.
Keep telling yourself that.
A better mod, you know, I'm out of the burnout mode. Like, Josh is great and thoughtful about this stuff. And everyone's putting in, you know, their input on things. And, like,
I don't think there's any argument. I think you're worried that people aren't going to miss you.
No. Oh, man. I would totally be fine with that.
That they don't miss you?
No, I'm worried about, like, people saying, like, you know, this is a sinking ship and he's jumping off and leaving.
Like, but that's a message that can be controlled. If anybody says that, it's so clear it's not the case. Mm-hmm. You just have people like Josh and me and Lobster Mitten and everyone else being like, no. Moving on.
Anyone that has humanity and empathy would be like, yeah, I'd get tired of it too. I mean, people email us all the time and say, like, I don't know how you guys do it. And it's like, well, yeah, I found my limit. So, like.
Yeah, I think you just need to be like, I was following Jessamyn on Twitter and she seems really happy.
She was on one of these things called a vacation.
Right, I took a vacation. It was crazy. Although, to be fair, I read Metafilter on vacation a little bit and I hung out with Metafilter people.
That's true.
Well, but it was all, like, voluntary, so perfect.
Yeah, no, I would love if Metafilter changed and ran away from me. That's fine. I'm totally over it. Like, I don't have any ego wrapped up in this at all. No,
perfect.
I'm worried about people thinking it's unshaky future or something and freaking out, but...
I think that's an easy message to manage.
Yeah, we can reassure people pretty easily. And things have been really reasonably solid the last few months. I mean, that's one of the nice things about it. Honestly, if we'd been in a nosediving, you'd be like, hey, Josh, how do you feel about taking over?
You'd be like, nope.
Yeah,
I will not take that thing from your hands.
A much more complicated conversation to have.
Yeah. I mean, I can't. I mean, we're going to have a few people.
Well, yeah, we always do, though.
But, like, I don't
10,000 people, a few of them are going to be buttheads in one direction or another. And that's, that's just part of the whole deal.
Yeah.
I think the thread that exists already by the time this is airing is probably just mostly a whole bunch of people saying, hey, that is awesome for you, Matt. And thank you for all
right.
You've
we're
have
so
done.
Happy for you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's my hope.
And then you just have to play that Taylor Swift song in the background. Hey, it's gonna and dance around your living room. Shake it off. Woo.
Yeah, I guess my last day is Friday, so then I don't have to read MetaTalk impulsively every day forever. So that'll be good.
You can just clock right out of that shit.
I'm looking forward to Friday night.
Taking off all the emails.
You'll just make little gestures at the screen, being like, better you than me, Cortex.
You can just start flagging things. Have you ever flagged anything, in 16 years?
Maybe
I flag.
Well, yeah, Justin totally flags. And like,
I did flag a medium amount.
I did it once, like a month ago, to let Restless Nomad know that something was kind of hinky. I wasn't sure, but I didn't feel like sending an email, so I was like, oh, I'll flag it. Like, at least she'll see it. And then she did, and I think she deleted it, but yeah. Yeah, I'll flag stuff. That is...
Flagging's fun.
Justin, I caught you somewhere saying, what was it, when some huge thing has happened on Twitter. I mean... Metafilter, he said, was it not my monkeys, not my circus?
Not my circus, not my monkeys. That's not my line.
That was so great.
It was probably on Facebook. There's a whole bunch of like back channel stuff on Facebook where people talk about stuff. And sometimes I dive in if I think I can be helpful explaining why a thing is going a certain way. But at the end of the day, I'm like, well, you guys are just, that's kind of how, oh well.
Yeah, and I've caught a few of those, and I've basically just stayed out of them because, like, on the one hand, it's like I could get in on this, but on the other hand, why don't I just let people have their channel? And I'm just not gonna make it weird by making them self-conscious about the fact that they're, talking about stuff in basically public.
Yeah,
but that's okay. You know, it's like people can have boundaries, and that's all right.
Yeah, I've seen longtime members like saying I didn't like how this went, and I'm like, I could explain it, but I don't want to weird them out by barging in like a sea lion or something and being like,
sometimes people just want to be able to say I didn't like this, and that's all right.
They're allowed to. It's fine.
Exactly.
So yeah.
Well, should we talk about Metafilter?
Sure.
Weren't we just talking about Metafilter? Oh no, we were talking about Matt, and now those are two different things.
Right.
Matt. You're gonna love it so much.
I see what you did there. Yeah. So if we went to jobs, as is the tradition, there's only like two cool jobs of weird stuff.
There was mail me the thing.
Yeah, go buy me something in a weird place. That's pretty much. There isn't really a lot of real jobs.
Well, yeah, there was two buy me something weird place, right? Prints obtained from Berlin Museum, and I need a souvenir from Lima, Peru. Certain stuffed guinea pig.
Oh, from an actual gift shop in a section. Yeah,
in Miraflores.
So is this when you get home and you go, I wish I bought that thing? I don't understand how these things happen.
It may be that you took a picture of a thing and someone was like, oh my God, that would be the perfect thing. And then you're like, yeah, but I didn't get it. And then there's a problem.
Yeah, I wish we could geotag like the Berlin one to find Berlin users or something.
Don't we have that ability? You need to walk away. Walk away, Matt.
Yep. Not my circus. That's kind of jaded sounding, but I just thought it was funny.
No, it's not good for feature requests, but it's great when people are, flipping you shit for no reason. I think it's specifically a shit-flipping response.
Yeah. So, yeah, not a lot of jobs aside from that. So, I guess projects.
But, yes, if you happen to be in Lima,
boom. Yeah. Buy some stuff for some people.
Yeah, I don't think we have a lot of users in Peru. But yeah, Projects was great. I enjoyed Projects a lot.
Yeah, a bunch of good stuff this month.
Yeah, I've got a bunch. Go first, somebody.
I really liked Glowy Clock, which Ignacnock made. They used to have an LCD clock, and it glowed in rainbow colors, but he didn't like it. It was a waste of space, and so he made one. You can add it to your home screen and then have no Chrome, which I guess means, no window around it? I don't know exactly what that means.
I think you could run this on an iPad in landscape while it's charging next to your bed, and it'll look just like a 70s, 80s clock.
Yeah, it's lovely. It's
It does rainbow out. Wow. I thought it was just red.
Isn't it just red?
No.
Ah, it's turning orange. What? Shit.
It's shit. You can probably turn it off. It's just all in, like, JavaScript, so you can probably tweak it.
This is, yeah, this is like that April Fool's joke.
Yeah, exactly, right. Goes too fast, though.
Wow, it's cool. Except I don't want anything glowing in my room when I sleep, but I could understand the appeal for others.
Yeah, and if you're a clock person.
Isn't blue light bad for your sleep? So it shouldn't go blue, but it's cool. It looks neat. I like the flippy kind, 70s clocks, 60s clocks.
They make noise, though.
You get used to it.
Yeah, you get used to it.
Did you see that really sweet one, the saved a loved one's voicemail greeting? Did you get that, like what was going on there?
What?
So get this one. Z-Rail made a thing to save like a stepdad's voice. So you place a number into this website and it calls it and then it goes to voicemail and then it records it as an MP3 and emails it to you. And he built this for his mom because his stepdad died a couple years ago, but his voicemail still exists.
So it's like a funny Twilio hack.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's a sweet Twilio hack. It's sort
It's cool.
Yeah, so you have a long-lost loved ones. I mean, the window for that, why would this voicemail still be operable 2 years?
Well, I think they left a message. I mean, Jim does this. Like, on his cell phone, he, like, keeps all his old...
Oh, no, there's no way to get that off. It's getting...
Oh, it's an outgoing voicemail
message. Like, let's say you pass
tomorrow.
You call
and it's like, hey, you've reached a Bob.
I've been dead for years. Right. I don't understand how his voicemail still exists 2 years. Like, you'd cancel that after a few months, right? But that's...
Well, however it happened.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Don't nerd it.
Yeah, no, that's a sweet little... That's kind of a nice sort of bookend to that song from a couple... episodes ago.
Hey, Doug, it's Charles, or whatever that was.
Yeah, I know it's you, the song with all the voicemail.
I have listened to that song since. That is a great song.
It's so great. It's really wonderful. It still puts a big old smile on my face.
Hey, mm-hmm. Bob, it's Charles. What was the guy's name? I don't remember.
I'd have to look it up.
Mm.
Roger?
Maybe Roger.
Yeah.
Hey, Bob, it's Roger. Hey, Doug, it's Roger.
Any favorites, Josh?
I liked... this is the first projects post that I've approved myself after being the person getting the projects email. So it's very special to me, I guess, now that I get those instead of you. But Logical Dash.
Projects I've never heard of.
Yeah, I know. Now you get to enjoy the serendipity. You're like, oh my gosh, what's that? Logical Dash has been working on this thing called a Life Simulator Engine that he's been working on to sort of... run simulation scenarios based on simple code-based rule sets. And it looks neat. I haven't dug into it yet other than sort of reading through his talking about it in the thread and poking briefly at the GitHub repo. But it looks like a really fun thing, and at some point it'd be nice to sit down and actually see what I can do with it. Because I like that idea of taking, well, but what if we set up this simple sort of rule set for a world and saw what would happen? You know, I've always liked things like Conway's Life, that are exactly, it's a very simple rule set, and then you just sort of see what happens when you give it some input and let it run. So this seems like it could be a really neat way to play with things like that. So I look forward to see where it goes with it.
Graphing, or it's a text adventure?
No, it's
confused.
Like, I think your output is probably likely to be, It explains it better in there. I don't have a super solid handle on how it's supposed to work, but yeah, the idea is you can use sort of scripting and maybe some graphing to set up kind of a world state that then just gets computed, and so you get things happen because you've set up these rules for how the universe works, and then it sort of iterates through them.
So like any kind of output you can imagine, just this is the rule set.
I suppose so, yeah. You tie this in and then you could do whatever you want with the output.
This reminds me of there's this new app for iOS called Lark, like LARK.
That was the kind of cigarettes my dad used to smoke.
It makes a fake messaging application with an AI robot. It's basically like this, just rule sets based on your like your activity chip in like iPhones, like that stuff gets stored, like how much the phone has moved at, you know, 2 miles an hour today. That would be walking, you know. So you get this like cheery robot who's sending you fake text that just goes, "Oh, I see you took a 12-minute walk. Good job, Matt." Like, it does this all
they're,
day.
They're real texts. They're just not from a real person.
Yeah, and then you like fake text back. They're like canned responses, and you just tap them to say thanks or tell me more. And it goes, "Do you want to see a graph?" And you go, "Yes." And you have this fake conversation with a set of scripts that are talking to your, you know, your.
I don't pay money to do this, do I?
No, it's free. It's funny. It's funny in how, yeah, how jovial this AI is and how convincingly good it is, kind of. But it reminds me of this, where, you know, if person runs 5 miles, give them a kudos.
Can I use this with my Pebble?
I don't think so. Someone might have made an app for it to make, send the fake messages to your Pebble.
To my fake watch.
I couldn't get the Pebble to work with my iPhone. I hate Pebbles.
I got it to work. It just doesn't, turns out, doesn't solve a problem for me. I traded some fishing rods for it. Mm-hmm. So like my dad has like 15 yeah. fishing rods that he's never going to use. So I was like, "Who wants fishing rods?" "Oh, my friend the fisherman. Hey, let's trade something. What do you got?" He's like, "I've got these Pebbles." And I was like, "All right, I'll try it." You know, I wasn't using the fishing rods, but it's not fun.
They apparently work better with Android phones. I could never get the Bluetooth LE connection to work, but it would only work like exercising. It was great. Like, I'll actually use the Apple Sport Watch for sports and like.
Yeah,
not
I maybe
much
need
else.
To get one of those because it was too big too. Like, I got a little wrist, and that thing just made me look ridiculous.
Was
so.
It the steel one, the big?
No, it was one of the plastic ones.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Although it does have hardware buttons, which is nice. Like, you can wear gloves and operate it, which I don't know is going to work with the Apple one.
Well, you need special gloves, right?
Provided by Apple at $70.
Yeah, you get your, you know.
Special gloves.
Orthostatic or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
So, team.
Projects, any other projects?
Yes, this one that mentions me that nobody commented on, but many people liked. This is basically bittergirl.com, who's otherwise known as Shannon.
It's your fault.
Who, what?
It's your fault.
Yes, my fault. But basically, you know, ebook licensing and marketing and everything is insane.
Yeah.
And for smaller publishers, it's really hard to, you know, if you sign on with a big service, you've got to give away a huge chunk of your money, and these places are operating at little teeny margins anyhow. And so Shannon and some friends, I think friends, want to put together kind of a storefront for indie ebook sellers so that they can sell to libraries.
Neat. So would they provide like Kindle-ified versions of your book for a low price?
I mean, more
as a
and
license?
More and more libraries are going to like having a 3M server or something where they run the server that does the DRM and they can put their own content in it. And so this would just literally be the thing that you get the content from, and then you can load it into your own content server.
What's the one something app that the libraries are using for Kindles?
Oh,
one?
The Overdrive.
Overdrive, that's it. Yeah, I think
Overdrive
whole,
and Kindle are different, but yeah.
Overdrive is the, and then Kindle Lending sort of works with it, but yeah.
Kindle Lending doesn't really work because Kindle Lending requires you to have an Amazon account. So it's basically just the library is facilitating you getting a free book at your own account, kind of. You know, it's bad. Overdrive actually works pretty well, but the DRM's kind of shitty.
I'm only allowed to have a book for 3 weeks at the most. And you can set that. And the library said, it defaults to 2 weeks. Set it to 3 weeks in your app.
Well, and the thing is, if you use the app on your computer as opposed to your device, you can just get the book out of there anyhow. You know, like the DRM's actually not very hardened, I guess.
It's so dumb to like put artificial scarcity on it where like someone's
you read my article about, you know,
someone's using
ebook lending
book.
Is stupid, wait list for ebooks is stupid, but it's the, you know, it's the stupid environment we're in right now, and so given that we're in this stupid environment, having better tools is good.
I guess we all have to admit, like, large print edition for everyone is awesome. Like, that kind of makes all the Kindle nonsense worth it to me, that you can resize, reflow.
Yeah, like, well, and for everybody, right?
Yes.
You can make it bigger. You can make it brighter,
I
darker.
I wish there was more visually impaired audio by default. Like, I wish that wasn't weirded out, but you know, some books get audio versions.
They're going to lose some lawsuits, and that's going to happen.
Right, yes. Like, American with Disabilities Act should
The blind crush. Are just suing people, and good for them. I mean, yeah. It's really funny, but, like, one of the things national-level advocacy groups for print-disabled people do is sue people who fuck around with that kind of stuff. Because copyright law enshrines print-disabled people's right to access audio versions of or print-disabled versions of books. Mm-hmm. But publishers are kind of drag-assing about it. And it's gonna go their way.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I think, yeah, the increase of accessibility is kind of makes this whole Kindle nonsense worth it, but Amazon are still dicks,
exactly. But when they have more competition, I think things will get on a more level playing field, and that would be nice for everybody.
Yeah. So this is like an open licensing for indie books.
You're a publisher and you've got 50 books. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of places aren't going to really talk to you until you've got, like, multiple zillion thousands of titles, because it's not worth it for them to set shit up for you. But if you're retailer, which has a bunch of titles, you can do business with libraries as kind of one entity and give people access to all these books, you know?
So this is duplicating, like, what CD Baby, any CD Baby person, any user of CD Baby, they create CDs for bands, but then they made one iTunes licensing deal, so anyone who gets in a CD Baby shows up on iTunes.
Exactly. It's exactly like that.
Because they don't want to talk to everybody.
I mean, they're still waiting for some licensing shit to work out with their state, which I think is the state of Ohio, but that's, you know, small potatoes, I think. It should be cool, assuming it works like it's supposed to.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm stupid excited about it, actually.
Yeah, it's really neat.
Yeah.
I have a couple projects that this is more an endorsement than a specific review of the content of, because I'm happy about both these ideas.
What?
One of them. I'm just saying I can't promise.
Are you saying you didn't like
content,
it?
No, I'm just saying I haven't had the time to say.
Oh, you haven't looked at them, but you like them in theory. Well, I haven't used Retailer either,
yeah.
So.
Once again, I'm talking myself into trouble by trying to over-explain instead of just saying I like a thing. But hey, one of the things I like, there's this new podcast, or newish, called Console Obscura from user Stensang. We're talking about classic video games, basically, which, hey, obviously, that's kind of up my alley.
He's got a picture in his profile, finally. That's cool.
Yeah, and they're like six episodes in. They've done Punch-Out. They've done No One Lives Forever, which is one of my favorite first-person shooters ever, partly because it's not a, like, focus on the person shooting aspect of things. I mean, it still is. You wander through the, sort of a 60s spy adventure as an awesome spy heroine named Kate Archer, sort of navigating both, like, the sort of Austin Powers-ish 60s throwback comedy shtick, and also, you know, the abiding background radiation sexism of the era too. So, you know, she's sort of like, this is the superhero you didn't get so much at the time. And then they made a couple great games, and I hope someday the license for that's going to get sorted out and someone can make another one, because I feel like someone could make a really, really fantastic, like, follow up to that series at this point. But yeah, so exciting things. I'm hoping to track down some time so I can actually sit down and listen to it. But I like that they're doing it.
Nice.
You need an office an hour away.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't have to drive anywhere.
There are
so
too many good podcasts. I wish I commuted more.
But similarly, although I can more thoroughly endorse this one on principle, Jay Harris is bringing back his At Play column, his long old column about roguelikes.
Hey, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's been on a break, but he's back. He's got a new column up and more stuff coming. So so it's exciting, because yay.
More
so there's a double whammy of gaming stuff.
So he's made a list of all 79 of his columns, but they're not linked?
I think
he may still be
in the process of some of the rebooting, but I'm not totally sure exactly what the plan is. He's mentioned, you know, being concerned about sort of Google's stewardship of Blogspot, too. So we'll see what happens there. But
because they got all
case,
crazy about adult content recently,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that there's that whole thing. I haven't caught up on the whole deal, but yeah, basically they're just being weird about
anything potentially porny,
I guess. Because, you know, it's the internet. You know, people don't go there, you know, looking for that kind of things. So let's keep it family-friendly.
Oh, you know, it's gross. They can't apply advertising to anything that isn't quote-unquote family-friendly. So I bet you they're, like, about to drop some bomb that's, like, auto ads on everything. And when they say, oh, we can't put it on this cool sex worker
blog. Oh, that's an interesting idea, Matt. Yeah.
That would suck. I mean, there are a lot of, like, I think Tumblr is like the sex blog world, right?
Yes, Tumblr is the sex blog
world. But I do see, you know, whenever there's like positive sex positive like sex worker stories, they're almost always like a blog spot where someone's like, here's tales from the street or whatever. And like,
right, because they're older. I mean, the blogs are older, and so people mm-hmm. have been writing for them for a while, and that used to be where you did long form writing stuff.
It's true, yeah. So I bet it's like Google Ads.
Ugh. Those dicks.
Dicks. It's always dicks. Money. Any other
projects?
Was
that it for you, Josh?
I got one other that I liked. We've got to get the weird programming-driven Twitter bot of the podcast out of the way. So this time it's by user 23. It's a Twitter bot called Dup Dup Draw, or maybe Doop Doop, but I like saying Dup Dup. Which basically accepts tiny little programs and then renders some fairly abstract computerized art based on that.
I don't understand this at all.
Just scroll through Twitter stream. Some of these are beautiful.
Yeah, think of it like a super, super, super minimal logo, maybe, you know, in terms of like telling the turtle what to do. So you're describing the color of the pixels in each of the pixels of like a 512 by 512 image based on some sort of little bit of code that moderate, you know,
these are like processing values. Recipes or something.
Yeah, that sort of thing. So, yeah. So it's like tiny little programs that just create different patterns and colors and stuff.
All right.
Which seems really neat.
I played with that Twitter yet, but, bot a few months ago where it took a photo, I think, and then applied a whole bunch of weird stuff to it. And it took a lot of tweaking to get really weird, cool photos. I thought those diagonal stripe ones are cool.
That's like, neat and cool. Weird. And hey.
And you can just copy someone else's tweet and tweak and see what you get.
Yep.
That is awesome.
So yeah. I think I had even more, but we're going long already. So yeah. Those were some of my favorites of the month.
Sweet.
Great. Hooray for projects.
Regular Metafilter.
I actually went on a, I tried to favorite stuff as I saw it this month.
Crazy.
So right after our last podcast, there was this awesome post by Scruss. I went to the foreshore when the tide was out, looked around the riverbed, and found three pieces within 20 minutes, the Dove's type. Basically this typeface that the guy wanted to get rid of forever because of reasons and threw it all in the water. And then somebody found a whole bunch of it. And when I was at the London meetup, one of the gals there, who's an American gal, talked about where you can go to, like, mess around on the Thames and find stuff when the tide is low, which is not really related to this, except it wasn't really a thing I knew you could just kind of do. Yeah. So it's just basically
bullets?
A single link.
Wow.
Fascinating. Really interesting story.
And this would be like me leaving Metafilter, but there'd be servers in the Willamette River.
Yes, exactly like
tired
that.
Tired of it all. Screw you. That's amazing that they're not more rusty. That's awesome.
Yeah, they've just been in the water. They threw them away, and now they can actually, like...
So they scrape it with, like, a sieve, it looks like, and throw some mud in. Is that a bullet casing or something? It looks like a bullet in the last photo on the blog post.
Let me see.
Looks like... I guess that could have flown in.
Oh, yeah, it might be.
World War II bullet. Eek. Wow, that's neat. I can't believe they're not completely rusted out. That's
and awesome. So the end result is a full type spec available that you can actually see of this typeface.
Can you download it as open type?
I don't know. Probably.
It's out of copyright.
I'm Sweet. Clicking the same link that you're clicking at. I have no idea.
But I've just seen
I'm
it.
I'm sure it will be eventually.
It's
not
the first
already,
time
so.
I've seen it. Can I plug Josh's amazing post? Because not because Josh, but because of the post.
Sure, or because actually.
What did I post? Oh,
wallpaper dement. The photographer who takes these things that look like illustrations, but they're actually real photographs, and they look like honestly, they're amazing. They're like these weird, flatly lit things that you see like in Sunday
New York Times magazine. I saw this on, you posted one of these on Milkshake, or somebody did.
Yeah, that's where I
found it, too. I saw a couple of these.
I saw it on Milkshake. Yeah.
Someone had posted a couple of these on Milkshake with, like, without any specific detail, but I think they may have had a link to something. I think it was a link to somebody else's blog post collecting a few of the guys' stuff together.
The funny part is, this is awesome,
and I tracked it down, and yeah.
Yeah, the funny part is that there's so much work to make this real stuff look fake that you could just open up Illustrator and make these things. It'd probably be easier, and you'd get, you know, almost the same output. But it's just, as someone who's done illustration and photography, like, these things blow my mind.
Right.
The one with all the stuff on the squares, and he does weird lighting. It's just shocking. Like, it breaks your brain to think that these are real photographs and this is real stuff.
Yeah, it was just really divisive. Like, I love a post like that. Like, I don't make enough of those. I usually end up posting about something that I specifically like or something, which there's nothing wrong with, but it means I sort of have to, like, try and navigate the, okay, I like this thing, but is there really a good post here? So this sort of thing where, like, it's just literally that old school serendipity of, like, oh, I saw this thing somewhere and I'm going to post about it on Metafilter. You know, I don't end up doing that a whole lot because usually other people have done it before I got there. And I was sure I was going to find this posted somewhere too, but no.
Well, and he did
lucky.
The illustrations for that New York Times Twitter shaming article, which is Metroid Baby's first comment. So I didn't know those were photographs. I assumed they were just really catchy illustrations.
Yeah, and it seems like he was getting a few pieces of, like, mainstream work like that, like, last fall. It looks like started to really sort of pick up for him. So,
and he uses weird salt printing methods to get flat colors. Oh man, it's so weird.
Yeah, I was hoping someone. I wasn't able to track down any real detailed process. Yeah, no, that's one. It's a classic. Like, a few people saying, "Hey, this is neat," and then a bunch of favorites.
43 favorites.
Yeah. But I never found a good article on the details of his current working process. I was hoping someone else in the thread might turn it up.
Dude, that's a metric you should watch. Have Paul code it up in the next 5 minutes. It's a number of favorites per. Over comments exceeding 1.0. This is like six favorites per
and
comment.
We've talked about that some. You know, every once in a while, I feel like that comes
That's
up in Meta Talk.
Especially,
in, it usually comes up especially with Ask Metafilter. And the question is, like, how is it that, you know, this question has, like, 17 answers and 500 favorites?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and it's like, well, sometimes, you know, people are interested in the thing, or it points to something good, or they want to see what happens more than they're actually able to necessarily say anything particularly about it. And it's really neat when that happens.
Man, this is probably a really strong signal of a cool post. Like,
And I think
we've seen the obscure,
Yeah, or a very pleasing question that everybody has that may not have answers.
Yeah. Or just a lack of naked provocation. Like, there's nothing to be upset about.
Right.
So
sometimes there's,
like,
not stuff to talk about.
I love those posts where people are just stunned into silence and there's a billion favorites.
Right. The old slow clap posts.
I liked, because I always like it when this happens. There was a post, Brundlefly made a post about an article talking about that thing that happened years ago.
Oh,
with,
I saw this.
Yeah, Marilyn Vaux-Savant.
The world's smartest woman.
Yeah. Has written for years and years and continues to, I believe, write basically a column about math and stuff for Parade magazine. And there was the time that she tackled the Monty Hall problem.
I remember that when it happened.
Yeah, no, I did too. I was like, oh, shit, yeah. And it was a huge fucking deal. And partly just because, like, the world's smartest woman can't get this probability problem right.
Right, she did the Monty Hall problem, and then lots and lots of people were like, you don't understand basic numbers, lady.
Yeah, an article collects some, like, some shitty, just super snide, well, maybe if you can go back to the basics, blah, 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 blah. Signed, you know, real name, professor, PhD, blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
you
maybe
know.
Women look at math problems differently than men. That's a
seriously,
real comment.
Seriously.
Come on.
And so the article that Brundlefly posted is really sort of about that phenomenon, the stuff that got written in and sort of the weirdness and to some extent saying, hey, there's something kind of weird about the way people reacted to this. But inevitably the thread became 276 and counting comments about the Monty Hall problem and people trying to explain the Monty Hall problem to each other, and every once in a while someone saying, I'm afraid you've all made a mistake. Let me tell you what the actual answer, you know? It's like, it's inevitable. It's the
this
fucking
is all of
Ralph 1998. Wiggum is a Viking.
Yeah, this is all so my internet interactions in 1998. We're arguing about the Monty Hall problem, and it took me about 6 months to come around to just like the plane takes off on the treadmill.
Right.
I was adamantly like, no, I'm not going to follow math proofs. I know I'm right. It took me six. When someone explained it with 10,000 doors, like you can have one door or you can have 9,999 doors. Which one do you think will have better? You know, and I was like, oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're
and,
right.
And it's a thread full of people trying those various different ways to convey things to people. And the article does a good job with a couple of them, too. But so, I love it. I fucking love it. It's simultaneously wonderful and so predictably fucking stupid. Like we are incapable of helping ourselves.
Yeah,
it's a total honeypot. Just everybody's just like, because I tell you, half the people in that thread probably looked at it, rolled their eyes, said, oh, geez, the fucking Monty Hall problem. And I'm not even going there. And then 5 minutes later, they're typing a fucking comment because someone said something incorrect. And it's like, no, but... And yeah, I just love those big, dumb nerd parties.
The other math nerd rule that everyone knows, but you can snare people, is the, like, two people at a party with the same birthday day.
Oh, yeah.
It's only, like, the math works out to 1 in 23 or 1 in 24, the chances.
1 in 23, right.
Yeah, like, it's not 365. And people will go, wait, no, it is. And you're just like, well, there's a longer explanation, but it's really not the case.
Yep.
Right. I don't want to fight with you about this.
Yeah.
I mean, plus there's the whole sort of feminism article, so I can bring up Lewis's Law, which is my favorite thing. Which
oh,
is the
yes.
comments on any article about feminism basically justify feminism.
Yeah.
Which everyone should know about just in case.
Yeah. Nice.
People don't know about it.
Oh, man, here's another one. This is this one's pushing three favorites over comments. Someone just made a Flickr gallery of paper craft arcade cabinets from the 80s. I don't know
oh,
why.
Nice.
I don't know
Baby
why.
Pac-Man.
Dope. They like fit on a piece 8.5 by 11. You cut it out and you tape it up and you have a full color.
Zaxxon.
Yeah, full color 80s arcade cabinet stand up made
Burger
of paper.
Time.
I don't know why you'd want this, but I just thought it was awesome. And
Frogger.
Super good.
Yeah. Wow,
you can
that's
make a
the,
tiny
the
arcade
person...
for your, you know, dollhouse.
You put, no, you put a Frogger cabinet around your iPhone and you play Crossy Road.
That would actually be super dope, actually.
Yeah.
Like, I don't
like,
even
like,
understand.
Like, well, imagine, you know, if one of these things is, like, you know, 6 feet tall and you sort of just create an extra slot to slide your iPhone in so the screen is where the screen of the arcade cabinet would
well,
be.
Well, you guys have seen those little arcade cabinets you can slide an iPad into, right? I have
I
one
have
of
not.
Those.
I have not.
Oh,
them.
I have one.
Ooh, does it
That's
work?
Well, you've got to buy special games for it because it's got a Bluetooth with your iPad, and it's one of those things where, like, the cabinet's really cheap, but a lot of the games cost a little money. But you can play, like, certain games, like, I don't know, what's that one where you're running through the jungle, you're the guy?
Pitfall.
No. It's newer. Like,
oh.
You're running, and you can, like, slide under things or jump over things. Doesn't matter. At any rate, it plays some free games. But it's cool because it does have those little buttons and the joystick from the old, like, arcade cabinets. And you can, like, play stuff on your iPad. It's neat.
Proper. Sweet.
Yeah. Wow, that's a cool one-off.
Yeah, I don't know why someone went to all this trouble, but it's awesome and things are cool.
There's a huge amount of energy in sort of, like, the repurposing the old retro arcade stuff. Like, I was talking to Jay Scott, actually, last year at some point on, like, Tilda Club's IRC, just about arcade-y stuff, because I was fiddling around with, like, a really silly, minimal arcade-based thing at the time.
Oh, right, right.
And he was like, oh, well, let me tell you about these couple huge, ambitious projects. And yeah, there's a couple of, like, virtual arcades that different people are working on that basically take this idea and say, okay, but let's turn that into, like, an actual 3D modeled arcade instead of, like, you know, paper craft to stick on your desk.
Right. Well, I mean, that's what Bonflip has in his basement, and it is amazing.
Yeah.
It's all I think about.
At some point, I may put some sort of actual arcade cabinet in my basement.
A video game cabinet that plays every
game. Yeah, just MAME.
Is like, what? Let's go the opposite way on the same idea and make the most. I've been dreaming for 10 years after I built my own MAME cabinet. It's like, it weighs 200 pounds of MDF, you know, and I got rid of it when I moved out of California.
What?
It's so much work for just a case for your PC, basically. That one, to do a minimal arcade cabinet, which is like floating LCD panel, you know, floating joystick coming out of the wall, Raspberry Pi, like duct tape to the back of the monitor, like no presence to it except buttons and joysticks. And like, oh, you could make it so minimal and like it wouldn't, you know, be like your gaming chair when, you know, people come
over. I can
see
the appeal, and yet...
It could display weather and lovely photographs, you know, when you're not gaming. Like, it could be a thing in your house that's not hideous looking.
Right. It's the appliance we were always promised and never received.
Yeah, I would love to have just a wall monitor. Man, I guess I could use my TV somehow, like a Bluetooth joystick. Like, someone needs to produce that, and I would pay money for super minimalist. Like, you could fit a Raspberry Pi inside the game stick, like, base and stuff.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, man, there's got to be a way to do this.
Here's a picture of what the little iPad arcade thing is, by the way. It's very cute.
Ah, cute.
It has lots of buttons.
It shows a link to me.
That's kind of great.
Oh, neat. Oh, wow, those are, like, proper buttons.
Click the link.
Proper.
So, another post that I really liked, only because the discussion was sort of funny, although it kind of went in a lot of weird ways, was what I imagine my boyfriend's ex-girlfriends are doing right now. It was like a jokey New Yorker article about what if you showed up at a convention of your boyfriend's ex-girlfriends. And, like, you know, it's Mallory Ortberg, sort of. It's Mallory Ortberg-ish.
Yes. Totally. You know, when I saw this post go up and it got some flags, which was weird because it's supposed to be taken pretty light. But it's the New Yorker. And I thought, I could imagine the meeting where someone came in and went, who the hell is eating our lunch this month on traffic? Oh, there's these two women that do this funny stuff called the toast. Like,
absolutely.
Higgins, you go get on that. And this is totally
a rip-off. And to be fair, the article was, I thought, really funny. But of course, there were... I mean, it turned into a funny thread about people talking about their exes, although there were, you know, some discussions about the performance of femininity and a whole bunch of other loftier topics. But I enjoyed the conversation. I enjoyed getting pointed towards the article, which I wouldn't have read anyhow. And it's just, if you like that kind of humor, it's a very good version of it. If you don't like that kind of humor, you would hate it because it's very good.
I don't think I've ever seen the New Yorker try that kind of humor. It was weird.
It's not their thing, right?
It's it'd be like if you open the NewYorkTimes.com and it suddenly had like smiley faces, BuzzFeed style on all the comments, and you'd be like, what happened? Like, they're just trying
to... Did I wake up? Am I in a dream?
They're just trying to copy the other thing that has a different culture. It's weird to see. I mean, New Yorker does... humor.
They do humor pieces, but normally not like this.
Here's their humor piece. That's droll. Like, that's all you'll get out of them. And this is, like, funny.
Exactly. Or you're like, I guess it's about New York, and I don't understand it.
Exactly. Oh, another Manhattan Tunnel Brooklyn joke. Great.
Speaking of regional humor, because I do have one more post, and then you guys can talk about
Twitter?
All your posts. No! Happy birthday, Maple Leaf. Feckless, fecal fear, mongering... 50th birthday of the Canadian flag post.
Sweet.
If you're into vexillology, it is awesome.
Yep.
I will have to, I did not see that. I'll have to.
Because 50 years, like, that's not very long.
Exactly.
For a flag.
Like
Vermont has had its there. Vermont has had its flag, you know, how many more times than that?
What was Canada's flag before that?
They kind of had like a British-y themed flag because they, you know, they weren't super sovereign, and so they had to go get it. And so the articles are also about, like, Canada did kind of a shitty job with the museum piece on, oh, our flag, and everyone was like, oh, so lame. And then they have, like, here's some other designs that people made. You know, one of them had, like, what, 11 tiny beavers on it or something? Like, just ridiculous stuff.
I like the one with the three leaves because it's more maple leafy, but...
Yeah, more maple-y. There's a design with a beaver wearing a Mountie hat. It was great. It was just, it was a fun thread, and it was fun to talk to people about it. That was it for me and Metafilter.
A funny but not funny, or not funny but funny thread. Basically, a funny person died. A guy named Harris Whittles.
Oh, right.
Died this last month, and he was like 30 years old, and I presume just based on context that probably it was like a drug overdose, which is somehow both better and worse than if it was like him taking his own life, because it's like at least it's not another funny person who couldn't, you know, deal with, you know, crippling, you know, depression or suicidal ideation or whatever. But it's also just, that's so fucking dumb, Harris. Come on. But yeah, no, it's super funny guy. He was a writer for Parks and Rec and occasional
He was like one
actor.
Of the stoner guys on Parks and Rec.
Yeah,
you might remember
he was,
him.
He was one of the service people who'd show up every few episodes.
And he was magic. Every time he was on the screen, he was just magic.
He was fantastic. He was a regular guest on Comedy Bang Bang, which is where I came across him. He had a recurring feature called Harris's Foam Corner, which was originally called Harris's Phone Corner, I think, but then people couldn't decide if he was saying the word phone or the word foam, like, you know, a piece of foam. And so Harris's Foam Corner, he would just like read like half-baked tweets that he had left notes for himself on his phone. And it was all super deadpan and it's super funny guy. Incredibly sad that he's dead. But the thread is chock full of like so much fucking funny stuff if you were not aware of him that it's a whole lot of entertainment right there looking back at the stuff he has done. In his life, so yeah, that.
Good.
He's
sad,
kind of in the background of everything great in comedy.
Yeah, he was. I think he was basically just constantly working and doing good, funny shit.
Yeah,
both his own and with other people.
I saw a slurry of tweets that night of people just saying like, I talked to him 2 months ago and he had kicked heroin or whatever it was. Like, oh my god, like they're, yeah, it was a bummer.
Yep.
I didn't know he was only 30. Ugh.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
he's super
very
old. It's crazy.
Young, which is like young now.
Fuck.
Josh, how old are you now?
I'm 35, so I'm like, oh, that kid. You know, it's like,
that's so
fucking weird. But
wow, so he's been writing comedy on big shows since he was like 23 or something. That's cool.
Very high performer.
Yeah.
Damn.
On a lighter note, generally speaking, there's a post all about Satan. This was
from Adam Eyes.
Adam Eyes made a post about sort of talking about where the pop culture perception of the devil as, you know, the goateed, red-skinned, pitchforked guy that we know
which is funny because it's kind of a mirror image of that stupid post about the global Jew, you know?
Yeah.
Except just not quite.
Yeah. I was thinking of the Coca-Cola Santa, maybe.
It's interesting because instead of being like, you know, more or less a product of a marketing firm, this is much, you know, this is tied into real old stuff, which I guess you could make the same argument for Santa. So there's some sort of parallel there. But anyway, this idea that like there's these really pervasive images, but then how does that tie into the actual history of Christianity and the, you know, Satan related content?
Because Satan was an angel, right? Who fell?
Well, yeah. There's. I think Lucifer as a fallen angel is
Lucifer. Part of it, yeah.
One thing, and then there's sort of like Satan as the adversary versus Jesus as, you know, the advocate, I guess, in treating the Bible as sort of like a story of judging the morality of its own sort of narrative. Or I am not a scholar.
My eyes
at
are
all,
glazing
but
over.
There are a bunch of really smart people and some really interesting comments of people digging into all the sort of like some of the history of the stuff, both like lay Christianity and scholarly Christianity, about the history of the conception of Satan, the devil, Lucifer, etc. And
nice.
It's a really neat read, and yeah, I just really enjoyed that thread a lot. Which it had come to mind because it had actually, I'd been really enjoying that thread, and then a couple days later in some argument in MetaTalk, you know, there was some sort of like, and you know, people are crucified if they, you know, talk about Christianity on the site. And I'm like, dude, come
actually.
On.
Actually.
Yeah, me and like three other people with three of them was at the same time. But anyway, yeah, that was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
Sweet.
Good.
I love this post about this GitHub thing of where it, some code to like when you're committing code to a repository, it turns on your webcam and takes a photo.
what?
And then they made like animation so it takes video. But if you look at a gallery of people committing code, They're pretty amusing.
Oh my God, it's all like sort of LOL Cat style pictures.
Oh yeah, it automatically imports what your commit message was, why you're doing this, and then overlays it with your username and stuff. Or yeah, some hex code of the fingerprint of it.
So many broken images.
There's so many dudes.
This is like meat spaces for code. This is brilliant.
Yeah, it's funny. I think I recognize one person. Wow, face painter. That's interesting.
I was going to say, are these all dudes?
They're mostly dudes.
No, but seriously, are they all dudes?
I see a woman in purple hair.
Yep, I see her.
A woman. Two. Jesus. Fix the ratio, people. But it's, yeah, hilarious hair. That's using a scary webcam thing for good. Fun.
That's like, what was that, the commits from last night or something? The Tumblr blog? What is that called? You know what I'm talking about, though, right?
Yeah.
But I don't remember what it's called, or I wasn't looking at it on this computer.
That sounds right, that, because yeah, I think, because it's riffing on the whatever tweets from last night or texts from last night, like, meme.
I will find it while you are. Commit logs from last night. And it's just commitlogsfromlastnight.com.
Ah.
Oh, and that's
wow.
All.
We just
although got... it hasn't updated since December, so.
Aw. Are these public and they're just looking for funny words?
I assume. It looks like, you know, they're looking for shit, fuck, stupid.
Fuck this thing and fuck it again.
Jeez.
Normalize the shit out of Hello Kitty.
Yeah, science, bitch, and JavaScript, all the things.
We just got the best contact email ever. It just says, can you call me internet, please?
Man, I get those contact emails at Open Library all the time. I have, like, a specific
auto-reply,
which is like, I'm not sure I understand you. Can you send me some more information?
They're looking for rural internet or something? Hey, internet, call
internet
me.
In rural Jamaica is the thread that's the referrer for it, so.
Give me a call, internet.
We got one earlier from someone who wanted information about a Sprem bank, so.
Oh, I didn't.
Yep.
That was good. And then it was a reference to, like, an Ask Metafilter thread on, like, actual fertility stuff, and this was, like, a dude going, how much would you pay me for my sperm, which is so weird.
You'll have to call them for rates, sir. I have a couple weird posts about minimal audio that I really enjoyed. One is what is the sound of one hand smashing? A post by Strange Interlude. That is, this will take a little bit of setup. It's a video of clapping in a game called Super Smash Brothers. And Super Smash Brothers is this Nintendo's sort of flagship fighting game where a bunch of Nintendo characters and characters from other video games, you can play as them and just, like, get in a big brawl with each other. But at the end, somebody wins any given round, and they say who it is, and then that person sort of stands there triumphantly while everybody else who was in the fight just sort of claps
for them. I'm watching it right now.
Yeah, so there's no audio in the game for the clapping. You just see an animation of clapping, and different characters have different clapping animations. So someone went through and folied all of the hand claps for every character, and it's the dumbest, weirdest thing. Like, I don't know. It's one of those things where I don't know why it works, but it just fucking kills me.
I am enjoying it. That little penguin thing or turtle thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah, anyway, it's I imagine half the people who watch that video are like, what the fuck am I watching? And the other half are just like me and laughing like a fucking idiot. You have to, like, it's one of those things where, like, about 4 minutes in, you really have that crossover point, too, I think, where either you're like, why do I not have those 4 minutes back? Or you're just sort of like, yes, this is the thing.
That was a total good use of my time.
Exactly. Similarly, post by Fizz.
Oh my God, yeah.
Of an edited segment of Dr. Phil without dialogue. So someone sat down.
I did not click this.
Oh, you really should watch it sometime.
I'm clicking it right now because you guys are here with me.
Yes. No. Yeah. There's nothing.
Dr. Phil. I mean, there's a lot of Dr. Phil. But
I think there's like 20 seconds of pre-roll setting up whatever the premise of the episode was, and then there's a bunch of just staring at each other and not saying things and like just reaction shot camera stuff.
Oh, someone did all the courtroom scenes of what was the You Can't Handle the Truth movie with Tom Cruise?
Oh, yeah, A Few Good Men.
A Few Good Men's entire courthouse. Quiet. It is insane. It's like 2 minutes long of just people looking at each other.
I don't know why it's so effective. It's like, it's just, I think just the fact that it's so intentionally unsettling in its sort of editing of our expectations.
It's super weird. And Dr. Phil's like a weird looking dude.
He is. Like this, like I'm sure he's just as Dr. Phil as he ever was, but I don't watch the show or anything. So I'll see an occasional still in some media context. But yeah, he's just really Popeyed mugging a bit in there, and it's kind of
God, it's so awkward.
It's super weird.
You can just see it in the body language of people, and it like gets
right.
They're about to say something horrible.
And there's this community theater aspect to it too, because you know they're all on TV. They're not professional actors, presumably, but they're all sort of like they know they're acting a little bit for the camera. And I don't know. It's kind of great. I loved it.
Oh, man. So you want to do Ask the Metafilter in the last 20 minutes?
Yes. All right. I can't chainsaw these snowbanks, or can I?
God, that's right. That. I love that.
So you would think this would be Admiral Haddock with yet another question about his house, but instead it's D-Y-W-Y-P-I, Dweepy. Basically, I live in Boston. The snowbanks are too high. I'm thinking I should get a chainsaw, blah, blah, blah.
That seems dangerous.
And the reason I love it is not because it's a ridiculous idea, but because Boncliffe showed up to be like, hey, man, sorry to ruin your fun. This is a terrible, terrible idea.
Where is Boncliffe's at? Oh,
I mean, that's probably for the best, but
chainsaws are serious business. They're not a toy.
Yes, and then, of course, there's the follow-up on February 26th. Are you still alive?
That's always a scary thing.
Sorry, Josh, what were you saying?
I was going to say DYWYPI is, as the note on their profile page, actually, an acronym from NetHack. It stands for Do You Want Your Possessions Identified, which is one of the questions the game asks you after you die.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. So thank you for that extra information.
It's an ASL joke from games,
Ancient games.
Like I bet someone on the site has the username YASD2, although I can't remember offhand if that's
YASD. True.
There's a YASD. What's that mean?
Yeah. What is that?
Another stupid death.
Oh, that's, yeah, we have, I think, someone from the first year, probably.
I would not be surprised.
I loved my favorite Metafilter posts are like history I didn't pay attention to in history class, and here's some old history that you didn't know about math that's really cool. How did you book a rail ticket in the early 20th century? And someone were talking about finding tickets with like physical descriptions, and so apparently you couldn't scalp the ticket if it was like short woman, brown hair, you know, you couldn't just give it to your cousin. But, like, why couldn't you? Because it's just a paper ticket. But this is what they did. And, like, yeah, and there's all this people just diving into.
Yeah, this was great. Angela just showed me this this morning. She was like, oh, hey, this was a neat one this month. And I had not seen it at all. And it's so great. This is, like, a thing I had no idea about. And it's this, like, it's, you know, it's Women's March we're doing this month. And if anybody's looking for post material, this could totally be an awesome fucking Metafilter post. Because, this is just this whole thing. Like, I had no idea. And it's such a neat sort of outcome to an interesting question.
And you have to fill out passenger information. So I guess you couldn't resell it. It's kind of how it comes out.
You know, two of the people I met at the Metafilter meetup in London were both, one of them has a history blog and one of them used to work for the London Rail and has all sorts of bizarre esoteric knowledge about old train cars. Both of them, I'll try and find the one guy's website, Matt, because if you like this kind of stuff, you'll love this dude.
I thought someone mentioned racism, right? Like you couldn't, like, because there was black only, colored only, you know, train cars, and maybe they were doing this to keep...
I'm sure they could manage the outright racism a lot more easily. they can just like, nope.
Well, if you walked up and buy a ticket, they said, nope, we're sold out. Yeah. And then your white friend walks up and buys a ticket for you. Maybe? I don't know.
Yeah,
there's a website you would like. London Reconnections It's just sort of talking about London transport and some weird history stuff.
I love the Ask Metal Filter question from a couple years ago of like, how did you sign a legal document and prove you were who you were in the 1800s? Like, those are
right, because you didn't have a photo ID. So
right.
What?
You paid a barrister to hang out with you, a counselor, to claim that he was your friend or something. Yeah, it's awesome.
Well, that was a great question. I mean, I think we brought that up on the.
Yeah. And this totally reminded me of it. Sweet. Any other faves?
I enjoyed this one, even though it kind of went in a funny direction. But basically, like, look, I'm one of those people who buses tables and I try to, like, consolidate cutlery. I'm a little helpful. What are some other little helpful things I can do that just make the world a little bit easier for everyone around me? And it's got, like, 80 answers, 100 favorites. And one of the funny things about this thread is, in addition to lots of useful information, there's this total subtext of, well, don't be like this fucker and be super irritating.
it's kind of this is like one of the best, like, you know, help me with my novel questions under the hood there, because like if you're ever writing and you just need to come up with something for one character to be irritated at another character as a low simmering long running annoyance, just find one of the things that isn't being done here and have one character really care about that thing and the other character just never does it. Boom, it's like a petty grievance generator thread.
Yeah,
I couldn't
exactly.
think of anything except, like, tip well. Live a life with, like, over-tipping. Like, you will not piss anyone off doing that.
Well, some people get uptight about tipping if you're in, like, a place in another country where
right,
you get
yeah.
people used to white people over-tipping.
Right.
But, yeah, no, I know
I meant America where we pay the people $0 per hour. Oh, man. That's great. There's a great ratio on this post, a billion favorites to...
This is your first, like, no longer have to do anything meta filter assignment is just do a roundup of ratios of posts, just yeah. just like a hobbyist project.
Oh, man, yeah. Oh, well, I mean, Paul could do this in 2 seconds with a little
That's
bit of
no
sequel.
Fun. That's this you got to cut yourself out, man. You gotta,
this is almost 10 favorites per comment. What's a Zenny optical of other things, you know?
Oh, that was a great thread.
Right. Like, I woke up today and I realized I don't have to pay $400 for a pair of glasses. I can pay $8. Are there other things in the world like this? And there's a whole bunch of other things. A lot of razors. And then people figure out where Dollar Shave Club gets their razors from. They're just reselling cheaper, even cheaper razors. It's fascinating. And there's, like, restaurant supply stores. That used to be my favorite place to shop for... there was one in LA that had food for restaurants, like basics of food, so you can get like blocks of chocolate for baking that were like a tenth of the price at a store, and you can buy, you know, all the cookware you needed.
Was
just
this,
dirt
did,
cheap.
Did you go to a Cisco, like a Cisco factory?
No, I can't remember what was it called.
The tubs of lard.
It was called Surface, and it was in West LA, and it was amazing. And they would have steaks cheaper, and they'd have fresh pasta that was cold, you know, that was cheap, like freshly made that day. Like, it was great.
Nice.
And it was walking distance from my house, so it was awesome. Oh, yeah. Oh, cat litter. So there's this new cat litter. Like, every 5 years, there's a new cat litter technology that's very pricey. And so we've moved on from, the weird desiccant pellets. And now it's pine needle pellets everywhere you go. And someone said, oh, if you just go to a seed and feed and you get animal bedding, it is the pine pellets at one-tenth the price. Like,
right.
You can,
awesome.
Can get
Who
200
knew?
Pounds for $30, or you can pay $50 for 5 pounds of the same stuff.
Yep.
Like, this, yeah, I love this thread. Life hacks.
I thought this was a good question because sometimes, you know, this sort of thing happens. User Poink wanted help finding music for a Viking-themed party.
Of
so they
course.
Wanted, yeah, they wanted, like, not just a whole bunch of metal, basically. So, you know, what other Viking stuff is out there? And people had a bunch of suggestions. So, yeah, if you need to... If you need to dig real deep into an argument over which color a dress is, here's your literal and figurative Viking music that you can draw into that whole situation.
Wow, Finn Troll. That sounds like the Viking version of the Dropkick Murphys. But, I push play. It just sounds like, wow, that's awesome. Awesome, awesome.
So Ask Metafilter. One of the things I really liked this question was about restoring cast iron pans. I was looking at Craigslist. Here's a deal. I'm wondering, is this a deal? Blah. And so people are like, yeah, but yeah, blah, blah, blah. And then Mud Puppy shows up and is like, bam, do this for a job. Let me explain to you, blah, 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 blah. I rehab and sell collectible cast iron on eBay. Bam. And she just drops the science on it. And it was just super helpful and was great. And pointed her to Cast Iron Collector, which is the good website on information about this and blah, blah, blah. And it was just great. Like, interesting question, and then there's the answer.
Dropping some fucking science.
Yep, I put it on the side blog. It was so good. Yeah, I think I've heard some, like, Alton Brown tips on how to find old cast iron, but that comment is so much better. So good. About, like, what metal marks to look for, what condition to look for, what you can repair and what you can't. Like, it's good. Super good. I marked What's the Matter with Kids Today as a favorite, but I didn't see a ton of awesome responses. Like, let's find old history mentions. Well, I guess.
Oh, like from the last generational couple. Frustration from a long time ago.
Well, yeah, that's what I wanted to see, but I think they're just talking about, like, in the last 50 years, you know, find some 1960s sources saying kids today. But yeah, they do go back a bit farther. But yeah, there's a 1909 one, 1907. I've seen what was it? Someone was passing around a New York Times clipping from like 1920, and it was saying like kids are obsessed with, I think it was not Morse code, but telegraphs or something like that. And that was going to ruin like the world because we'd be moving information too fast, and that people couldn't handle it. It was really good. And that's like you've seen the photograph of the like New York. Or Manhattan bound, like Connecticut train. And every single person on the train has their head buried in a newspaper. It's like,
yeah.
And people go, technology, am I right?
Exactly.
Perfect.
I really like this post that taught us all how toilet cruising worked. Back in the old days when,
cruising. Okay.
The foot tapping
gay
stuff.
Men needed to meet sort of surreptitiously, maybe in public toilets, maybe in other places. Like, how did that work exactly? This is by user Vatek. And, you know, people talk about it. And there's some explainers and talking about why that's really changed and, you know, how the world now being a lot more welcoming for gay people has really made sort of toilet cruising sort of a thing of the past almost.
I'm actually really relieved to find out that it was like literally cruising in toilets, because I was immediately trying to imagine some sort of maneuver involving like using a toilet while, I don't know, getting a momentum. Yeah, it's, yes. Anyway, yes, that's much more interesting and much less gross.
I remember looking way into it when the weird Minnesota senator, what was that guy?
Oh, Idaho. God, yeah, wide stance fella.
Yeah. People brought him up in the thread.
Yeah, and I would go like, how does that work? And then, yeah, tea rooms is what it's really called. And yeah. I remember, trying to discern foot taps of some sort, and they're all secret.
Right, and, you know, then, of course, you get the crazy moral bathroom panic of people being like, what if I'm just sitting there tapping my foot? And you're like, nah.
Nothing's gonna fucking happen, you idiot.
Well, there's a whole system to weed out people like you so nobody sucks your dick by mistake.
That's a problem.
According to the wide stance guy, yeah.
Oh, I'm bummed. Does Colin Firth own a yacht or not? Couldn't get a definite answer. That's
what?
Pretty much
Where are
all
you
it was.
This?
Does Colin Firth own a yacht? I thought I heard him say something about a yacht. He seems like a yacht guy, right?
By Synecdoche.
And then people
that's
go,
that's the kind of question you can ask, but yeah, I'm not sure if you're likely to get an answer. Well, I mean, I guess maybe someone would have like a definitive interview with him talking about the yacht that he bought.
Yeah, or like maybe there's some British public records of yacht ownership. I don't know. He hosted a party on a yacht, but he probably rented it. Someone found photos of him on a yacht. I just love that. Yacht or not. That's it.
Timing-wise, should we wrap up?
Yes, we are running.
Wait! I just have to mention the What Short Story Is This post.
Oh, God, yes, yes, I did.
About several children who lived in a world that was almost perpetually dark. Maybe you've heard of it.
We need to track down every question that's ever been asked about this and just do some sort of like, you know, textual analysis of all these different variations and figure out what the word cloud for asking this question about the story you don't
this
know
is
what
a
it is.
This is a honeypot for people who remember things.
It's not even so much that a whole bunch of people need to answer the question because it's a real simple, it's like a one answer and you're done. But people cannot resist commenting on the fact that it has come up again. And I always worry a little bit that whoever asks that on any given occasion is going to be sort of sad, like feel like ganged up on or something, that people are like, hey, what up? But
no, that's actually just a secret code to get into meetups in behind locked doors. It's like, hey,
knock three times and say, all summers in a day.
Or what was that story? And then they have to answer back. The callback has to be all summers in a day. Yeah.
Yes. No, so great. It just makes me smile every fucking time that happens.
Oh, shit.
It's the Ask Me version of the Monty Hall problem, basically.
Yes.
Yeah, so we have to go, but Women's March just started. And
yes.
It's going to be awesome. And
We'll talk about that more next time, and it'll be at the tail end of it, so we can talk about all the great posts. But there's already been a bunch. People have been posting a bunch of really good stuff. It's been a fun few days for posts already this March.
And we had the 4 millionth answer to Ask Metafilter, and podcast posts are now open forever.
Yes, sweet. Yes. Yep, yep. You can go back to your 5-year-old podcast episode and be like, oh, hey, by the way, I really want it. So
ask a question. Yeah.
And since we've commented in almost all of them, it's like secret notes to the mods.
Oh,
and
exactly.
And yep. Matt.
Oh, it's going to be a weird few days.
Retired.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I know it's going to be fun. All right.
Thanks,
well, let's go travel back in time and make a Meta Talk post that blows a bunch of people's minds.
Yep.
You guys are both awesome. It's always great to talk to you.
Thanks.
It is always fantastic to talk to you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.